If I only have something to say now, you'll enjoy that. I enjoyed pastoring for nearly 60 years. I came from a big family of 14. I only have one sister living. There were seven boys and seven girls. I was the seventh boy and she was the seventh girl. And we're the only two living. She's young. She's the youngest. She's 88. And she's going to be 89 and I'm going to be 91.
Spell off your ear. I'm just going to make sure it's still there. There you go.
Okay.
This number just in case. There you go.
I have a lovely family. I have four children, a lot of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. But they're all in church. They're all saved. Most of them are in the ministry. My mother came to know Christ back in 1917, I think it was. And she said when she got saved, God told her that, she said it was like a vision. God told her that the ship would come in, everybody would be on board, even though it was battered and scarred. Now, she never lived to see that because she died in 1950, the year I graduated from high school. But I lived to see it all transpire and take place. I can't believe I've lived this long. My older brother, he was 20-some years older than me, 22, I think. And he said to me, "Bob, if I don't die soon, my enemies will all be dead, and so will my friends, and there'll be nobody at my funeral." He was very comical, and I just have a great family, but the church family has been my life. You know you're a family? You're that hidden mystery that the Old Testament showed that the church was a hidden mystery in the Old Testament. It was unfolded to the Apostle Paul, and I'm glad I'm part of that body. I belong, as we read this morning, I belong to the Holy Catholic Church. That means it's universal. I thank God for the Church of Jesus Christ and that I'm a part of it. I've preached everywhere over the nation and even in Africa, and God has been so good to me. I have a grandson he's in the ministry, and the church is going to vote on him on the 5th, to see if he's going to become their pastor. He's a lovely boy. My son Paul, they didn't have any children, but he adopted two. So I got a preacher in the family by adoption. I don't care where they came from, just so they turn out right. And one of the big things of life is a love for people. You know, if you're going to do anything for the kingdom of God, you've got to love people. And I see a lot of, and hear a lot of sermons that people pull off the internet. But ministers need to have a message. I praise God for my years of revelation. Sometimes I lay in bed at night and I think of the faithfulness of God. I was a farm kid. I can't believe I've lived so long that I drove draft horses when I was 10 and 11 years old. And we lived in the country and went to a one-room schoolhouse. But you know, I learned a lot in that schoolhouse. Poetry and all that stuff. But we had a great community. It was a farm community. And we walked to church 2 miles every Sunday. And there was church Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Tuesday and Thursday. And we were churched out. As somebody said, they were drugged. They were drugged to church for all those years. But aren't you glad that you can get in church? I'm waiting till I can get around. I've got to take therapy for these legs of mine. But God is so good. I appreciate being here. I've attended a few churches here and there, but I'm not a church hopper. Never was, but I have wonderful friends and the family of God and the Church of Jesus Christ. And I'm just happy to be here in the lovely crowd that comes here. I believe God's going to do wonderful things for you. I sort of felt bad when your former pastor, I probably shouldn't say anything, but he left the ministry to take care of the planet. Wow. There's only one that takes care of this planet. His name is Jesus. You can't take care of the planet. Bill Gates and Al, what's his name, Al? Al Gore. Al Gore, he was on the TV the other day, and he was so angry that people weren't following him. But I thought, how dumb can you really be? God said as long as the earth remained, the sand was going to keep the sea in its place. I just read all of that the other day, and I rejoiced that this planet is in the hand of Almighty God.
Amen.
We live under His divine control. My grandson, or great-grandson, he's lived with us. They're moving away. But when I prayed, I said, Lord, I thank you for that we're under your auspices. And he wanted to know what the auspices was. So I explained to him. But God cares for us. Isn't it wonderful? The care of God. Now, Pastor Jeff assigned me the book of Proverbs. I was glad he didn't give me the Song of Solomon. And so I've been reading. Well, I keep up with the reading anyway, most of the time. And I had the 16th chapter through the 20th, and I thought, oh, God, this is difficult. I haven't preached out of Proverbs for so long, and I didn't go down through boxes. My library I gave to my great-grandson, or my grandson, and I don't have that many books, but I have the real book. It's called the Bible. And I thank God for the Word of God. It's powerful. It's a two-edged sword that fulfills God's purpose. And I'm thankful for that. Is there a... Pastor Jeff, give me that box of I don't know why. I never go to church without a hanky.
Get this back up here for you. That's going to keep falling off. How about now?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
If that goes, we'll just put you on there.
Yes, okay. In the 16th chapter of the book of Proverbs, these are Solomon's writings. Solomon was the most intelligent man that ever lived, but he did some stupid things. When you marry 300 wives, how dumb can you really get? Then he had a love affair with a little shepherd girl, and that's what the book of the Song of Solomon's all about. He's sneaking out of the house to the valley. That was poor women. I feel for it. Of course, he had a lot of money, so that I guess that didn't matter. Anyway, in this psalm, or in this proverb, there are a few verses I want to read. In Proverbs 16, let me read them to you. I won't have you stand because I'm going to read a couple of them. In verse 2 of the 16th chapter, it says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." Then on over in there, in the 7th verse, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." And then in the 17th verse, it says, "The highway of the right, upright, is to depart from evil and keepeth his way, or he preserveth his way, his soul." But the text that kept standing out to me was, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death." It's amazing. First of all, I want to talk about our spirit. This is what this psalm says: "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit." I was a presbyter for 22 years. We had in this Harrisburg section 30-some churches. And you learn a lot. You learn a lot from people and their actions, because I went to their business meetings and tried to take care of their problems. And one of the superintendents went with me, and he was a guy that made the decision for the church. And I used to think, why didn't you stop and listen? There's two sides to every story. And I had a woman, she played the piano in the church up there, and the pastor said, "When I sing the chorus more than two times, she quits playing. She doesn't want us to sing them." And I looked down at her and I said, "Your business is to do what the pastor tells you to." I said, "I was a church pianist. I know all about that." But her spirit, the spirit of people, our spirit is so important. I feel a lovely spirit in this church when I come here, which I'm so grateful and thankful for. My wife and I pioneered the church in Charleston, West Virginia, long, long time ago. And the man that founded the church was probably 15 years older than myself. I was all of 24. And he liked to run things. But you know what the Lord did? I was probably too dumb to know it. But at night, I'd go to bed, and I'd dream about him, and I always was one step ahead of him. You talk about the goodness of God in dreams. I knew just what he was going to do. I felt like Elisha when they said, he knows what you're doing when you're in your bed asleep. And God cared for me through that. And I had a wonderful wife. She was a wonderful preacher and teacher. She taught big classes of Sunday school. And we shared the ministry together. She's a woman ahead of her time, very beautiful. She was, that's why I married her. But she had beautiful black wavy hair and was just, I keep her on the top of my piano, her picture. And we pastored that church down there in Charleston. They had bought a building. And you know, some people think anything left over can go to the church. Stop it there. The church deserves the best.
Yes.
Amen.
And my wife, they had on the platform, you probably don't even remember them, old linoleums. And the platform was pretty wide, and there were three or four different colored linoleums on the platform. And of course, that really got to my wife. She took the women, and the man's spirit was against her, but they carpeted that whole church in beautiful winter green and fixed the pews, and there was nothing he could do about it. I didn't have anything in it. My wife did it. But the faithfulness of God, and that church grew. When I went there, there were only a handful of people, and we were there 4 years. And it was the days when Sunday schools were so popular. And when we left there 4 years after 54, we left there, and there were 160 people in Sunday school. I've often wondered what would have happened if I'd stayed. But God takes care of things. But what I want to talk to you about is your spirit. You can go to a home and feel the spirit of the home. You can go to church and feel the spirit of the church. We carry a spirit with us. And it's wonderful for people to know that when they come into church, that they're going to be greeted and treated with great respect and awesome. And we need that kind of a spirit always in the church, where people are welcome and they want to come and be in the house of God. This church has a warmth to it. Pastor, I commend you. It has a lovely warmth to it. He's been here, what, 13 years?
Yes.
And he's done a terrific job, and I appreciate that. I didn't stay in the assembly because I felt I was a hindrance to the pastor, which should never have been. The former pastor, one of the old pastors in our church, I brought him on board as an honorary pastor, and we undergirded him and cleaned his trailer and took care of him before he died. We're here to treat one another. I don't know how that heaven's going to be. Well, I do. But I wonder how we're all going to get along in heaven. I hope God doesn't have to pin off different denominations. When we come to the end of the journey, it's just amazing what you see in life. But I appreciate the wonderful spirit of this place, and that's why I came here. I didn't want to... I felt the pastor really didn't want me there. And I didn't want to be there. So I go occasionally to a funeral, and I meet some people, and they say, "Pastor, I want you to do my funeral." I say, "You better make a tape." At my age, you'd better make a tape if you want me to. I've buried so many people over the years, and they're wonderful. Some I appreciated burying, and others, they were going to heaven. God is so good. I love the people of the assembly. They're all been so wonderful to me over the years, and I've got over to quite a few of the funerals. I missed one this week. Darla Sittner passed away, and I intended to go and the day get by, for I realized it's past. But it's wonderful to have part in the family of God and the Spirit. So the writer here says, he says, "All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit." Listen, God looks not only at our heart, he looks at our spirit. And we have to fulfill that side of God's nature where we love people. I lived in a parsonage years ago in Lansdale, and one of the spirit of the men on the board, we would get sit down to dinner. And I'd look out and I'd say to Viv, "The inspector's here today." He came in and looked over everything in the parsonage. Wanted to know if, and of course, we kept the parsonage as good as we would our own home. But he came. Every time he come, I would say, "The inspector's coming. We better straighten things up." But his spirit, the attitude and the spirit of that man. I've dealt with everything over my life, but the cue is to keep the right spirit. You can't afford... I had a board member say to me, I've encountered everything. I had a board member say to me, "You hold the ladies' hands too long at the door." Well, you know what that would do to you. I was just from Maine, and I was young, and I had muscles, and I could walk. I was ready when he came up with the two other board members. I almost threw him through the stained glass window. I was so upset with him. You can do anything to me, but don't touch my character unless I have sin. And anyway, that's the only time, Pastor Jeff, that I've ever gotten angry in a church. Well, it wasn't really a church meeting. It was a board meeting. And I learned then, don't waste your time. The Lord, we got down to the altar, and I committed it back to God. And I can tell you right now, there isn't a church anywhere that I've pastored and been that can accuse me of getting angry. My spirit, and that I taught that to my kids, that our spirit, we need the right spirit dealing with people. I have a granddaughter, Emma. I have miracles in my family. They were going. She got in on dope and stuff in Philadelphia, and they put her in a body bag, and they saw her moving, and they got her out. Listen, she's one of the most creative and witnesses you would ever want to meet. There's a car stopped over here in front of Sobel's store, and the man that was driving it, driving a pickup truck, got out and was going to beat up the man. And her daughter was driving, and she was crying, and Amos said, "What's wrong?" And she got out of that car. You'd have to know her. She got out of the car and said, "Don't you dare to touch him. I know her. She could have beat him up." She's here today. She takes care of me, and she took care of my wife. And it's wonderful to see the growth in the lives of people. She's not afraid to share the gospel with anybody. And we're here today to share that blessed truth of the gospel. And we needn't be afraid. We've got a message to give to the world. And I'd like to be able to get out and get around and share. But your spirit has to be right. And our home, the spirit of our home has to be right. And my daughter Sharon says to me, "Dad, we have the most wonderful family, and I blame it on you." We took care of them and blessed them. Now, Adam and Eve in the garden, they were deceived. Eve, I don't know what she was doing in the garden alone by herself, but the devil tempted her in the Garden of Eden, and she came home and fed the line to her husband. They ate of the fruit of the tree that God said to leave alone. And it was a tragic day. They were deceived. The scripture says she saw, she took, and she hid. And you know the first thing she discovered? She was naked. Now it's hard to get clothes on people on TV. God himself sewed the first skirt. To cover the nakedness of man, blood had to be shed. He slew animals to clothe Adam and Eve in Eden. And they were deceived. And because they were deceived, we've all had a problem. I don't know about you, but we all had a problem. We were lost and undone. without God or his son. And thank God he came and clothed us with his righteousness. I'm not what I used to be, but I wasn't that bad either. Growing up, I obeyed my parents and went to high school and did all the right things. But I was still a sinner. I was lost and undone, and God saved me. I probably was 8 years old when God saved me, and I've been serving him ever since. It always hasn't been easy, but it's been wonderful. The journey's been wonderful. Aren't you glad God delivers us from the guilt of our past and all that is there? And this is what he did with Adam and Eve. They had failed and left us in a place of death. And God sent his son, and we became a part of the family of God. I know the Catholic Church, and I don't say anything against it, but I was disturbed when I read the paper this week and the Pope believes in homosexuality. I don't know what he does with the scripture. I got amazed when I read that. That was not a sin. That's a lie. Amen. A big lie. God knows our state and our sin and all about us, and we might as well lay it on the altar and let God transform our lives. But I was sort of upset with that when I read it in the paper, that he took that side with him. But God brings us over. The Lord looks at our spirit. That's why we can't be mean to people. The Lord knows what's in the heart of man, and he knows how to take care of it. He really does. He knows how to take care of the things that are wrong in our lives. Then down here in this verse, it says that a man's ways please the Lord. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Isn't that wonderful? When we act right, what can an enemy do when you're nice to them? There's not much they can do. When we take the stand and let God use us with tenderness and care in our lives to touch other people. And I'm glad that God has kept me on the straight and the narrow pathway of life. I'm on my way to heaven. I may get there sooner than the rest of you, but I know where I'm headed. And that's the important thing. I felt terrible this week when I read in the paper of the Kinsley brothers. I was just overwhelmed with a loss, and I thought, oh, God, that could have been my sons. My son Tim is an excellent skier. He did all that stuff. And I just felt terrible for our community and for the family at the loss of the Kinsley brothers in an accident of a snow slide. But God knows all about it. You have to commit it into the hand of God. Anyway, a man's ways please the Lord. He maketh his enemies to be at peace with him. It's no sense in arguing with people. Leave it there. Leave it there and act aright. Then on down in here in the 17th verse, I thought, well, I'll just meander through the scripture. The highway of the upright to depart from evil, he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Isn't that a wonderful verse? He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. And then in the 25th verse was the one that I had centered in. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Think about that. You can't go on your own velocity. We need divine direction. And God can give us that direction daily if we reach out to him. We need that divine direction. People go and they think they're right. You know, people think that seemeth right to them. And God says that's not true. The end thereof are the ways of death. You have to follow the pathway of Calvary and the cross and let God lead us day by day, step by step. We're under his auspices. I love him this morning, and I'm just happy to be here with you folks. I had a college girl that went to Penn State when I pastored in Altoona, and she came to me and says, Pastor, I come home because you do the best job I ever heard of declaring the word of God and making it plain and understandable. I can live all week if I drive that 30-some miles on Sunday to be here just to hear you. Now, that's not me. That's the goodness of God that calls us to be ministers of the gospel. And that's what I love about your pastor. I love about your pastor. He's not afraid to tell you what's wrong with you. He's here to undergird you and help you over the hurdles of life, but he's caretaker for the kingdom. And that's so important. When you find a pastor, we are hurting today. I shouldn't talk about that, but we are hurting today. I was reading in the paper that came from our district, and we have more churches empty and no resumes to fill them. What a terrible day. People don't feel the call of God to the ministry. I think I was 12 years old when I felt that God had called me to the ministry. And I have preachers that grew up in my church, and I sent them off to school, to college, and I have a lot of them in the ministry, which I'm grateful for. And extend yourself. But let me share something that's very personal to me. One of the boys from the Altoona Church, well, a number of them had gone to the college where I graduated from. And he's pastored for nearly 33 years in Lewis, Delaware. And my son, which the Lord has blessed, he was the head of the nuclear plant in Soary, Virginia, till he retired from there. So my kids have got money. I'm happy about that. And they take care of me. I've traveled over the world. And I said to Sharon, I've been everywhere. Yes, and she said, Dad, you've been everywhere without having to pay a thing. I said, that's better yet. I think I was to Israel 6 or 7 times, and then we went to Germany. Well, anyway, wherever we went, she took me. So Gary, the pastor, married Paul's wife's sister. And Paul thought, well, they've had a hard time. They've been in the church. I'm going to take them with me to Greece. If you've ever been in Greece, the white cities around, there are no hospitals, only in Athens. And Viv and I spent time in Athens before we went to Corinth. And when we rode up along the way, people were still washing their clothes with their feet in the stream. You know, this nation has been blessed. We've been blessed. God. Paul took Gary and Gwen with he and Beth, and they were in Athens. They were going to get on the ship and go to another island. And Paul was taking them up to the Acropolis, for they left the island. And he looked over and he said, Dad, I saw Gary dragging his foot. Then I saw his hand. And he said to Gary, what's wrong? And the problem was, his brain was bleeding. Paul says, Dad, I got him off the Acropolis and down to the village and into the hospital. And the doctor told him this is the only hospital around for all kinds of miles in the among these islands. And he said, I took Gary in there, and the doctor said, he's got about 30 minutes to live. And Sharon called me and said, Dad, Gary Ross is dying. And the Holy Spirit, I'm so thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit. That was 9 o'clock in the morning, and I felt the burden of intercession. I wept all morning long. I wept till 9 o'clock at night when the report came through that he had survived. And they told David, this doctor's, he was educated in America, and he's the only one could have done this. And when they took the scan of him after he came home, the doctors here in America said, boy, he did a good job on your brain. He's back in the pulpit. You talk about the faithfulness of God. I had a sister die with a cerebral hemorrhage way back, and usually you don't live. The doctor told Paul, when I opened his head and looked in, the blood just squirted out all over the room. He said it was so dangerous, and God helped that doctor mend that brain. And the doctors here in America said that was a beautiful, he did a beautiful job on your brain, fixing the leak that was in there. And I felt the presence. You know, God has a place of intercession that we need to fulfill in our walk with God. I've learned that intercession, when it comes on you, you better make a place to pray and find the heart of God, because there we have a God that does answer prayer. I guess I'm probably here today because God has answered prayer. I don't know how long he's going to keep me here, but that doesn't matter. I know where I'm going. I got the ticket and everything. And what a day that's going to be. But Gary's back in the pulpit in Lewis, Delaware, preaching the gospel. He's probably 59. No, 69. I get ages mixed up. But my kids are all in their 60s. I told Sharon one day, I said, listen, you keep this up and you're going to catch up to me. But they've been so good and so kind. And Beth went in to pay the hospital. She went down to pay the hospital. And she said to me, Dad, you wouldn't have believed. They charged us $12,000 for the hospital and the surgery. She said it would have been $85,000 here in America. But she said we were in the right time at the right place. And if we'd gotten on that ship, he would be dead. That's the faithfulness of God. Yep. I'm glad God answers our prayers. I don't know what you need, but God knows what you need. And we're here to reach out and touch him. As we sang, he touched me. I was listening to Bill Gaither. I listened to quite a bit of music because I love music. And that Gaither band sang that the other day, and I was so moved with that song and the flow of it and the spirit of it just swept over me. You know, we've got emotions. I hear Pastor Jeff preach, and sometimes I think you need to jump up and do something. You can be quiet, but when truth comes, I get excited about truth. Maybe I should start it back here on that pew. But I feel the moving and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We've lost in most of our churches the atmosphere of God's presence. And there's nothing I can do except God do it. And I've just been delighted to be here. Has my time run out?
You preach as long as you want, brother. You've heard that right.
But I have hundreds of sermons in boxes. And every now and then I'll dig one of them out. My professor in college, Dr. Waring, he was a graduate from, had all kinds of degrees, and he had attended one of the colleges in England. And he could walk up the aisle and get a sermon, and by the time he preached it, you were so overwhelmed, you wondered where that ever came from. But I went to a wonderful school with great preachers. I didn't know we were in a mega church when I was in college in Rhode Island, East Providence, Rhode Island. That church had 1,500 people in it. 300 and some of them were students. And the things we learned and the moving of the presence of God, I want you to know I have great concern in this day. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come. I'd like to get in the rapture, really. I really would. The trumpet's going to sound, and my feet's going to leave the ground. And I'm going to walk in his marvelous presence. Isn't heaven going to be a wonderful place? Filled with God's glory and grace. Thank God for his goodness. It's been a delight to be here. I don't know how long I was supposed to preach, but I had an old preacher, Brother Pugh, pastored in Hamburg, and he came down to Lansdale to a fellowship meeting, and we had him preach. And he put he was used to putting a piece of candy in his mouth so he'd know and he'd be done. And he got a rock and he preached and preached and preached. And the minister got looking at the clock. Where are we going with this? But I never had a man preach so long in my life. And he should have swallowed the rock. But anyway, it's just delightful to have been here with you today. I love coming here. Father, we thank thee for your great goodness to us. We wouldn't journey a day without your presence, your care for us. You touch us with your wonderful presence. I thank thee for the miracles you've wrought in the lives of these people. They sit here today, but they're all miracles of the great grace of God. I pray you'll undergird them with your presence. Keep your hand upon them. Thank you for these moments and the strength to deliver this truth. In Jesus' name.